जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी Vidyanavaya Girivarada Hari Vidyanavaya Girivarada Hari Sarananda Bhagavana Ranjana Sarananda Bhagavana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vannaka Hari Jamuna Tira Vannaka Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari Sarananda Bhagavana Ranjana Sarananda Bhagavana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vannachari Yamuna Tira Vannachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupa Paramahamsa Prabhajakacharya Asatara Sri Shima Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Iskan Foundry Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Premsa Goshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitya Ananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Ki Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyama Kundara Arakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham ki, Mayapur Navadvip Dham ki, Ganga Mai ki, Yamuna Mai ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Srimati Tulsi Devi ki, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanandi, Srimad Bhagavatam Kantaraja ki, all glories assemble the devotees, all glories assemble the devotees, all glories assemble the devotees. All glories, Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Text 17. Puranena Vrajapate Sarava Dasyo Pidita Arjake Rakshamana Jigya Dasyam Samedita Puramena Vrajapate Puramena Vrajapate Sarava Dasyupidita Sarava Dasyupidita Arjake Rakshamana Arjake Rakshamana Jigyur Dasyum Samedita Jigyur Dasyum Samedita Paramena Vrajapate Sarava Dasyupidita Arjake Rakshamana Jigyur Dasyum Samedita Puramena Prajapate Sarava Dasyupidita Arjake Rakshamana Jigyur Dasyum Samedita Krishna, Vrajapate, O King of Braja. Sarava. Those who are honest. Dasyupirita. Being disturbed by rogues and thieves. Arajake. When there was an irregular government. Rakshamana. We're protected. Jigyu. Conquered. Dasyun. The rogues and thieves. Samedita. Flourished. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Nanda Maharaj has recorded in history when there was an irregular, incapable government, Indra having been dethroned, and people were being harassed and disturbed by thieves, this child appeared in order to protect the people and enable them to flourish, and he curbed the rogues and thieves. Please repeat, O Nanda Maharaj, as recorded in history, when there was an irregular, incapable government, Indra having been dethroned, and people were being harassed and disturbed by thieves, this child appeared in order to protect the people and enable them to flourish. And he curbed the rogues and thieves. Purport. Indra is the king of the universe. Demons, thieves, and rogues always disturb Indra. Indrari vyakulam lokam. But when the Indriyaris, the enemies of Indra, become prominent, Krishna appears. Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam, Indriyari vyakulam lokam rijyante yuge yuge. Bhagavatam 1:3:28. So we're also supposed to cover text 18. I'll just read it myself. Ya etasmin mahabhaga prittim kurvanti manava narayo vibhavantietan vishnu pakshan ivasura. The demons, asuras, cannot harm the demigods who always have Lord Vishnu on their side. Similarly, any person or group attached to Krishna is extremely fortunate. Because such persons are very much affectionate towards Krishna, they cannot be defeated by demons like the associates of Kamsa or by the internal enemies, the senses. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Taitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Darati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Paragamala Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajna Setam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwe Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Harepye Vanchakopa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhubye Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishye Manumo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before going too far in our class today is an auspicious day, the appearance day of Srimati Rukmini Devi, the primary wife, consort of Lord Sri Krishna. So in remembering Rukmini Devi, she's explained as follows, that just as in the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada writes, just as Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Rukmini is the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, Mahalakshmi. According to the authority of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the expansion of Krishna and Radharani is simultaneous. Krishna expands himself into various Vishnu Tattva forms, and Srimati Radharani expands herself into various Shakti Tattva forms by her internal potency as multi-forms of the Goddess of Fortune. So, Rukmini, she was the daughter of King Bhishmaka. He was the king of the Darbha province. And he was very qualified. He had five sons, one daughter, Srimati Rukmini Devi. And I guess his oldest son was Rukmi. We may have heard of him. He was not so favorable to Krishna. But Rukmini Devi, she was living in the palace of the king. She naturally had the chance to hear many Brahmins and saintly persons, including Narada Muni, who were passing through the palace. And she heard information about Krishna. Prabhupada writes, she was informed about the opulences of Krishna, and simply by hearing about him, she desired to surrender herself at his lotus feet and become his wife. Krishna had also heard of Rukmini. She was a reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Intelligence, liberal-mindedness, exquisite beauty, and righteous behavior. Krishna therefore decided that she was fit to be his wife. And all the family members and relatives of King Bhishmaka decided that Rukmini should be given in marriage to Krishna. So it seemed like everything was going to happen naturally. However, the eldest brother Rukmi, despite of the desire of others, arranged for her marriage with Shishupal, the determined enemy of Krishna. When the black-eyed, beautiful Rukmini heard the settlement, she immediately became very morose. However, being a king's daughter, she understood political diplomacy and decided that there was no use in simply being morose. Some steps should be taken immediately, and after some deliberation, she decided to send a message to Krishna so that she might not be delivered. She selected a qualified Brahmin as her messenger. Such a qualified Brahmin is always truthful and is a devotee of Vishnu. And without delay, the Brahmin went to Dwarka. So this Brahmin, he reached Dwarka and he was received with all proper etiquette by Krishna. He gave him a nice, beautiful seat. He fed him, gave him beautiful garments, silk, inquired about his welfare and the welfare of the people and the kingdom that he came from. And then Krishna continued to welcome him and talk to him. He glorified the position of the Brahmins. And I know when I read this, I was always thinking like, Krishna is going through all these formalities and Rukmini is just simply in anxiety, waiting like, when's Krishna coming, you know? But he's doing all the proper etiquette to welcome the Brahmin and inquire. And then finally he says, well, you must have come on some specific mission. Could you tell me what that is? And then he proceeded to relate this letter by Rukmini, which was as follows. My dear Krishna, O infallible and most beautiful one, any human being who happens to hear about your transcendental form and pastime immediately absorbs through his ears your name, fame, and qualities. Thus all material pangs subside, and he fixes your form in his heart. Wonderful instruction. Just exactly how we're supposed to receive Krishna. Meditate on him, hear about his name, fame, qualities, and fix him within our heart. Similarly, I've heard of your transcendental qualities, and I may be shameless in expressing myself so directly, but you have captivated and taken my heart. You may suspect that I am an unmarried girl, young in age, and may doubt my steadiness of character. But my dear Mukunda, you are the supreme lion among human beings, the supreme person among persons. Any girl, although not yet out of her home, or any woman who may be of the highest chastity would desire to marry you, being captivated by your unprecedented character, knowledge, opulence, and position. So in this way, she's petitioning Krishna, saying how he's captured her, and she has no other refuge but Krishna. He said, she offers her and surrenders. He said, I therefore request you to accept me as your wife. You are supreme, powerful, lotus-eyed one. Now I belong to you. If that which is enjoyed but for the enjoyable for the lion is to be eaten away, taken away by the jackal, it will be a ludicrous affair. Therefore, I request you to immediately take care of me. I am taken away before I am taken away by Shishupala and other princes like him. So she's calling for Krishna and begging for him to come take her away. She has surrendered completely to Krishna. And we know that Krishna, he can make the impossible possible and the possible impossible. So what was seeming impossible was that Shishupal was going to marry Rukmini. That seemed completely possible. Everything was arranged. Everybody was planning this is going to happen. And the impossible that Krishna got there in one night, a very long distance, and his horses took him at a very high rate of speed. And he arrived there, and just as she was coming out of this temple, he picked her up on the chariot in front of all the great warriors and stole her away and held them all off. Amazing. So what was impossible, Krishna made possible to rescue her in such a dramatic and last-minute arrangement. It simply seemed impossible. For me, when I meditate on this pastime, I'm thinking that at the time of death, Krishna may also rescue me like that. He may come and pick me up at the last minute and take me away. A great hope. Otherwise, it may seem very impossible. Krishna may come and deliver us. But he can do anything he likes. Such is his power. All glories to Srimati Rukmini Devi. So in today's verse, in text 17, Srila Prabhupada references the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28. Ete chamsa kala punsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indraye vyakulam lokam midyante yuge yuge. All the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. This is a wonderful verse, a very important verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes this point that is there in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Prachanaya sadhanam vinishchaya chaduskritam dharma samstarpanataya sambhavam yuge yuge. That to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. So this is the same point. Krishna appears and he gives the information about Bhagavad Gita exactly when and why. Whenever there's a problem, the devotees, the pious people are being disturbed and the impious become too prominent, Krishna comes and he reestablishes what is true religion. We're very fortunate here that the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the essence of all religion. So we have this form of Krishna to associate with and to relish and to discuss. So in this particular verse, Srila Prabhupada speaks about the avatars of Krishna in the purport and how they come like waves on the ocean. I'm sure most of you have been to the ocean. And you stand on the shore, it seems like there's some perpetual motion machine that keeps sending the waves one after another. It just doesn't ever stop. They may be small, they may be big, depending on the situation. But they just keep coming. So Srila Prabhupada describes that this is how the incarnations of Krishna keep coming one after another. There's no limit, no end to them. But they come in different ways, at different times. He gives the following examples. He said when they are partly manifested to plenary portions or parts of plenary portions, it should be noted that certain manifestations of his different powers are required for those particular functions. In other words, when he comes in certain forms, he doesn't manifest the full power, but just what's needed for the occasion, needed for that purpose he's trying to achieve. And then he gives a very nice analogy. He says, when in the room small electric bulbs are displayed, like sometimes they used to have like these Christmas lights, they're small little lights or other little lights, that it does not mean that the electric powerhouse is limited by the small bulbs. The same powerhouse can supply power to operate the large-scale industrial dynamos with greater volts. Similarly, the incarnations of the Lord display limited powers because so much power is needed at that particular time. So the analogy is there, these small bulbs, we don't think, we can't get any more electricity. That's all the power you can get. Now, if we connect, let's say, like we're working recently with the solar panels. So there is limited energy there. They can only store up so much energy. And they're meant to back up the electric system here in the temple. So if you turn all the electric machines on and all the lights and the air conditioner, that will be exhausted in a short time, a few hours, it'll be finished. But because our normal electricity is hooked up to the powerhouse, it goes day and night. There's no limit. It keeps going because that is the true powerhouse. Just as Krishna is compared to that. So Srila Prabhupada also in the purport, he gives an example, another example of the incarnations of Krishna, which we were going to discuss in more detail in day or two, that this Hiranyakashipu, being a very powerful atheist, powerful demon, Srila Prabhupada explains the Hiranyakashipu was so powerful, even the demigods in the other planets would tremble simply by the unfavorable raising of his eyebrow. So you can imagine, they controlling all the lights, the sun, the moon, all the operations of the universe. Srila Prabhupada says, the demigods in the higher planet, higher level of material existence are many, many times excel the most well-to-do human beings in duration of life, beauty, wealth, paraphernalia, and all other respects. So very, very powerful. But still, he says, they were afraid of Hiranyakashipu. Thus, we can imagine how powerful Hiranyakashipu was in this material world. And then he closes the power of Krishna in his form in Sringadeva. He says, but even Hiranyakashipu was cut into small pieces by the nails of Lord Nrisimhadeva. This means that anyone materially powerful cannot stand the strength of the Lord's nails. What to speak of other forms of his display of power. So this is the power of Krishna, and Lord Nrisimhadeva is the incarnation. It's an incarnation of Krishna. But Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. He is the original personality. And Prabhupada goes on further to describe in that purport. He said, and the most extraordinary feature exhibited by Lord Sri Krishna was his internal energetic manifestation of his pastimes with the cowherd girls. His pastimes with the gopis are all displays of transcendental existence, bliss, and knowledge. And although these are manifested apparently as sex love, the specific attraction of his pastimes with the gopis should never be misunderstood. The Bhagavatam relates these transcendental pastimes in the 10th canto, and in order to reach the position to understand the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, the Bhagavatam promotes the student gradually in the other 9 cantos. So here the Lord is glorified, Krishna is glorified specifically for his pastimes. His pastimes which are uncommon with the gopis. Supreme Lord Krishna, he has described by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar Devotion as 64 specific qualities, which are detailed. 64 qualities, which no one can possess all of them. So, Lord Krishna, he has 64 qualities, and the human beings, not the human beings, the living entities, they can manifest up to 78% in their perfected state. So this is the possibility of the jiva, and only 78% of these 64 qualities. Whereas Vishnu, Shiva, they can possess up to, 84%. So Krishna has even more qualities than that, which make him supreme and dynamic personality of Godhead, which no one can surpass. So what are these qualities? Krishna's one quality is Krishna's inconceivable potencies. He has so much power and ability to display so much variety and different kinds of energies that cannot be imitated by anyone. Krishna, in particular, there's a description of his power to minimize the sufferings of the sinful reactions given in the Brahma Samhita. In the Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada writes, beginning from the great king of heaven down to the ant, everyone is undergoing reactions of the past deeds. But a devotee of Krishna is relieved from such reactions by the grace of Krishna. And this was clearly proved when Krishna went to the place of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, to reclaim the dead son of his teacher. His teacher had requested Krishna to bring back his dead son, and to do so, Krishna went to the place of Yamaraj to claim that soul had been brought there by Yamaraj and was being kept under his control. Krishna immediately ordered Yamaraj that be benefited by my order and return that soul to me. So who can do that? Who can order Yamaraj to return a soul from judgment? Only Krishna can do that. So this is the power of Krishna. And another of his qualities is that from his body come innumerable universes. This also shared with Vishnu. Vishnu can also do this. But it is amazing how Krishna is so powerful. From his body comes so much creation. We cannot even compare. Sometimes when I hear this statement about Krishna generating innumerable universes, and then you hear some bogus person claiming to be Krishna, some yogi, some person, let him generate even one universe, or even one planet. How dare they claim they can be Krishna? They have no idea who Krishna is. They cannot do. Yet they foolishly, like moths and the flyer, try to challenge and say, oh yes, I am the Supreme Person. Such is the foolishness. Sometimes these living entities are so envious they become. Like Pondraka, he challenged Krishna. And he came before Krishna to demonstrate his four arms. He had to paste on two other arms, trying to impress Krishna. Oh, look, I have four arms. And Krishna looked at him and he just laughed. It was just a laughing stock. There was nothing more to be said. So Krishna is not some cheap person, but he is full of so much power and source of all incarnations. And Krishna also, one of his qualities that he can liberate, give salvation to anyone he kills. Just like Putana. Putana came to kill Krishna. A tiny baby sucking this nurse's breast, and he killed her. She couldn't even get him off of her body. He had such power as a tiny baby. And yet he gave her liberation. She came to kill him, and he was so kind, he gave her liberation. And so is the story with many demons that Krishna liberates, one after another. But specifically, Krishna has four qualities that he doesn't share with anyone else. He's a performer of wonderful activities. The example is given in the Nectar of Devotion, wherein it is said, Krishna says, although I have many fascinating pastimes, whenever I think of the Rasa Leela which I perform with the gopis, I become eager to taste it again. So wonderful is that particular Leela. And one devotee has said also, he says, I know about Narayan, the husband of the goddess of fortune, and I also know about many other incarnations of the Lord. And certainly all the pastimes of such incarnations are exciting to my mind. But still, the pastimes of Rasa Leela performed by Lord Krishna himself are wonderfully increasing my transcendental pleasure. So this is the superior nature of Krishna's pastimes. They give pleasure to his devotees and Krishna as well. And Krishna is always surrounded by loving devotees. Loving devotees, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. If we read in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, we get a picture, a glimpse of how Lord Narayan and Vaikuntha is surrounded by many devotees. They're all worshipping him and offering many services. But Lord Krishna is there with the residents of Vrindavan, simply living as a young child and simply enjoying. And they are relishing his wonderful association, moment after moment. So this is Krishna, superlative in all respects. Then Krishna has one specific instrument or weapon, we may say. Krishna's attractive flute. There was one quote I recently heard that Socrates said. He said that when I hear the flute, I think it should be banned. so attractive. So Krishna's playing the flute is so attractive that it attracts every living entity in the three worlds and into the spiritual world as well. Everyone is desiring to associate with Krishna, to hear that flute. And there is a whole description in the 10th canto how Krishna's flute affects different living entities in different ways. The immovable living entities, they become motion, they move. And those living entities that can move, they become inert, they cannot move. They become stunned. They become absorbed in that sound. They try to capture that. Like the birds of Vrindavan, they sit high on the tree so they will not be disturbed by anything else. And they're sitting in that tree and they're just absorbed in hearing the sound of Krishna's flute like great yogis. They do not want to hear or think of anything else. So deep is their attraction to that sound vibration. And what to speak of the gopis of Vrindavan. When they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, they immediately run. Whatever they're doing, cooking, dressing, taking care of their family, they just drop everything and they run immediately to associate with Krishna. So much is their attraction. And Krishna's one of his topmost qualities is his exquisite beauty. He is so attractive. He is Bhusha Anubhushanam, is it? Is that what it said? Bhusha? Bhusha Bhushanam. That he is the ornament of his ornaments. He makes his ornaments attractive. Right? People wear different jewelry and ornaments so that they look more attractive, but Krishna's ornaments look more attractive when he wears them. Sometimes we may notice that looking at the deities, you see the jewelry in the drawer looks nice, but when it's on the deities, somehow it takes on this extraordinary quality and it becomes very, very attractive. We cannot stop looking at it again and again. So this is the nature of Krishna's attractiveness. It's very unique and attracts every living entity. So these are some of the superior qualities which certainly are being discussed here and make Krishna the topmost personality that we have the good fortune to associate with. And by associating with him, as is said in the text 18, because such persons are very affectionate towards Krishna, they cannot be defeated by demons like the associates of Kamsa, or by the internal enemies, the senses. So I'd like to stop here and invite any comments or questions anyone would like to bring. Yes, Sita Dasi, what would you like to say?
Hare Krishna. Incarnations and expansions of Krishna, like Lord Ram or Balaram, they don't possess those four remaining qualities.
Is correct. That correct?
So then, I've oftentimes heard them as non-different from Krishna and worshipping them, it's non-different. So how is that if they don't have the 100%?
Well, Prabhupada sometimes gives an example that in old times, like before, I think, 1945 or something in India, there was a representative of the king or the government of Britain, because it was ruled by Britain, and it would be called the Viceroy. And whenever he came, he was treated just like the king, although they knew he wasn't the king, he wasn't the top head of state of England. Still, he was given all that respect and treatment, royal treatment, because that was all going direct back to the king. If he was disrespected in any way, it would be considered an insult against the throne. So that's one understanding. And Krishna, these different incarnations are actually non-different than Krishna, except there are these degrees, these gradations. We could only possess up to as living entities up to 78%. So beyond that, there is something beyond us, and these are qualities of the higher forms, expansions of the Lord.
The whole non-different thing, I don't get it. It's different.
You wanted to say something?
Yeah, well, in regards to this, Giriraj Maharaj told a story in Vrindavan that I thought was appropriate. He said there was an argument going on between Jamuna Devi and, I believe it was Madhavisa, and they were arguing back and forth because they were having this exact argument, and Jamuna was saying, well, they have to be different. Krishna has the rasa dance, Balaram doesn't, and Krishna's blue, and Balaram's white, so how can they be exactly the same? So finally, Madhavisa decided to take it to Srila Prabhupada, and he went to Prabhupada and asked him, there's this argument going on. It was a loving argument, kind of a funny argument. So, and he said to Prabhupada, so Jamuna Devi is saying that they're the same, that they're different, because Krishna has his rasa dance with the gopis, and he's blue, and Prabhupada said, yes, she is right. And then he said, but otherwise, I'm saying that they're the same, because you said, in so many different places, they're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're all attractive, and Prabhupada said, yes, you are right. So Prabhupada said, then he said, well, which one is right? And Prabhupada said, you're both right, you figure it out. So in these absolute realms, the finer understandings that we have with our material logic, they don't necessarily carry out. And for Prabhupada, it was no problem. He didn't see any kind of discrepancy between the fact that they were simultaneously different and the same.
Mm, true. Oh, Ravira Prabhu would like to speak something.
Thank you for the nice class, Prabhu. Perhaps a better analogy than the viceroy, which is, I think, perhaps more used for like the spiritual master or someone who's a jiva, the worship of Vishnu as in comparison to the worship of Krishna, who manifests all 64. Probably give the example of a policeman, right? A policeman in his official capacity. He has a certain aspect, he has a certain uniform and everything, and people relate to him a certain way, right? But at home, he takes the uniform off, and it's the same person, but his wife and his children, his friends relate to him in a more intimate way. So, in Vaikuntha, it's the same person, but he's manifesting this aspect of glory and power, and so those who want to relate to him as humble servants, they're in Vaikuntha. They don't maybe even know about, that this is the person who has the flute and the rasa dance. But in his original form, which can reciprocate all the different rasas, Krishna is there in Goloka. And he has the sweetest aspect, which are characterized by these four special qualities. So it's not that the worship is equivalent. That's where you were wrong. It's that he manifested the worship of Vishnu is not equivalent to the worship of Krishna. Krishna worship can take you all the way to the highest three rasas, the more intimate rasas. But Vishnu worship, basically you have to relate to as a humble servant. You see? So even in this world, people manifest different aspects in different situations so that they have different relationships. That's the way I understand it. Mm. And when everything is done, if we have time, there's one little poem about the flute that I can share.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Yeah, I think just to make a quick summary, I would say, according to who you worship, that's where you go. So who do you want to be with? That's another way of looking at it. Krishna said, those who worship me, come to me. So each one is there, and we don't disrespect, but worshiping Krishna is our prime goal. Yes.
I was just going to say it's a question of taste.
Taste. Okay, taste. Oh, yes, Martin.
Nice to have different perspectives on it, and I can think about all of them. They all resonate with me in some way, so yeah.
Just saying, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gopa Kumar is going through his different places and everywhere, and he, you know, he had the ras of being a cowherd boy. And he was dressed as a cowherd, but he didn't know that was his ras. He didn't even know who Lord Shiva was. He just knew he was from Govardhan and that he had this mantra and he wanted to worship, you know, Gopal. But he didn't know who Gopal was. He was even unable to recognize him. He kept asking. But when he went to the Vaikuntha planet and he was asked to wait outside the door for a while, he saw many, many different living entities who were there. And they were each taking forms to please the Supreme Lord, and they worshipped the form of the Lord in a form that they wanted to worship. So some of them worshipped Matsya, some of them worshipped Karma. They were worshipping, you know, in the form of a tortoise, the form of a Nrsingadeva. And furthermore, when he went into Vaikuntha and other places, even Dwarka, they asked him, well, you know, you're dressed in this funny way, like a coward boy, you know. Here you are in Vaikuntha, or here you are in Dwarka, you should put on some, like, fancy duds, you know. You need a crown, gold, ornaments, this is a... And he didn't. He didn't feel comfortable, he was not at all inclined. But the people that were there, they were perfectly satisfied where they were. It wasn't like they were thinking, well, you know, I didn't make it, and, you know, what can I do? I have to make the best use of a bad bargain. They were completely okay there, and they were welcoming to him. They were warm and affectionate to him, and they naturally felt that he should join them in their way of worshiping Krishna, but he had a different rasa. So when you say something like, well, think about this and this and then decide where you want to go, it doesn't exactly work that way. That we actually have an inclination to worship Krishna or Balaram or whoever in our heart. That's an eternal inclination to worship the Lord. And when we achieve that rasa, that relationship, It's very satisfying, whoever it is. So if you look from this perspective and you look up and you say, well, where do you want? You want to go to the highest or you want to go to the second highest? It almost sounds like, you know, when we get there, we didn't make it. You know, we came in second, so. I remember once I was at my son's house and he was watching the end, the very end of the World Cup soccer something or other. It was Italy and France. And the game was over, and someone was just kind of walking around with a camera. And they had gotten online, and they gave the medal. So France got the silver medal, and Italy got the gold medal. And guy from Italy went over, tried to hug him, and he just pushed him away. And then he walked over, and he took his medal, and he thought no one was looking, but it was on television. He took it and threw it on the floor and stepped on it. So, because, you know, who wants to come in second? But in the spiritual world, that mood is not there.
Mm, true. Exactly right.
Okay. So this is from, I don't know what happened to it. Jagadudhana Madhuri Durinam Adina Mandida Mandira Durapa Namata Shubhadam Nibantukatvam Nirudhi Madhusudhadu Madhunitam. I just touched this thing, it's a touch, and now I lost it. Your flute sends forth a flood of nectar sound, a river where the sweetest sweetness lies. Indeed, no better beverage can be found, yet even Shri can't drink it, though she tries. Oh, Krishna, I forget it. I lost it on this stupid thing. Anyway, what he's saying that, oh, Krishna, please let me hear this flute sound so that my thirst will be slaked, my great thirst will be slaked, and I'll be satisfied. Sorry about that.
Okay. And I just wanted to make one kind of footnote about the story from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that is, Gopa Kumar, when he finally sees Narayan in Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan, he approaches him like a friend. He goes up and gives him a hug and all that, you know, like a dear friend. And all the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, they're all like, no, we don't do that here. Stop. Just obeisances only. No hugging. You know? So his mood didn't fit there, so he was not comfortable until ultimately he had to leave and go on further.
Oh, Krishna, kindly hear this desperate plea from one now deep in misery immersed. Please let my ears drink in that melody so that my heart may slake its burning thirst.
All right.
Thank you.
All glory to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glory to Srila Prabhupada.